Thanks for joining me today. I'd like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, access video, audio, and written teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. Good morning. So I know you weren't expecting this, but I thought we'd start Saturday morning here in Santa Cruz with a spiritual pop quiz. I know you're probably too asleep or zoned out in one way or another. But I thought that's one way to start today. What do you think? Yeah? You ready for that? Okay. So the rules are that you have to be open in your body, in your mind, in your heart, and your spirit, and not to think. Okay? You can actually just be here and listen. Allow these words that are going to come out to just move through the space and however they do. So the first question is, what's the difference between enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, divine awareness, emptiness, Buddha nature, the Tao, God, Jesus, oneness, and the answer is nothing. There's no difference between any of them, actually. It's like what Shakespeare said. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So forget the name. And forget the label, and forget all your beliefs and all your programming, and just smell the sweetness. That's it. So being here is about smelling the sweetness. And you may notice that you can't because the nose is plugged up. You're congested. And you go, I know that's a rose there, but can't smell anything. That's not a problem. That's just the condition. So notice how you are here now, not how you were when you had your awakening, how you were at the retreat, how you hope you'll be in the future when you're enlightened. You know your list? If you have a list. A lot of people have a list. Descriptions of how it's supposed to be. Forget all that. You can drop that baggage, at least for this morning. You can pick it up if you want later and drag that around if you need it. But right now, when you're here, notice if you're open, if you're available. And if you're not, can you allow how you are? Or notice if there's comparison or judgment or longing or frustration with how it is. Notice if that's what's present, some reactivity or irritation. And if that's going on, is it possible to offer yourself some understanding, some forgiveness, patience, compassion? Is it possible to actually find the seed of gratitude for what you do appreciate right now? That you're just able to be here. As simple as that may be, that's actually a privilege to just be here in a space with lovely other people and quiet, you know, relatively peaceful, at least on the outside. How do you garden? How do you take care of your garden? So, and that's something on a human personal level we can continually assess and learn and grow and develop as and in. And in case you didn't know it, maybe the next question I need to ask is, what's the difference between your relative conditioned self and divine consciousness? And the answer is nothing. They're the same thing. It doesn't seem like that because when you're caught in suffering and reactivity and separateness and disconnection, it doesn't feel like you're one with everything. In fact, it feels that you're against everything, or it's everything's against you, or whatever the dynamic is, right? But there really is no difference. How could there be? How could there be any difference? Really, those are just, that's just convenient dualistic conceptualization that has a place for human limited interaction and language, you might say. So we talk about it. But you know, if we survive as a species and continue to evolve, I think we'll get to a place where we don't even have language anymore. We won't need it. And there's so many examples of communication that doesn't require words at all. You see it in the natural world all the time. All the time. We have that. We have that sensitivity. Of course we do. We may have become insensitive to it or never developed the sensitivity to it. But you certainly can more and more as you open to this awakened true nature that you are, as you surrender to it and allow it to move through you and radiate from everything to you and back. Because from that perspective, there is no separation. So the beauty is you can work on your personal self and it will develop your spiritual nature. Some people think, oh, well, that's going to strengthen the ego and the doer and separation if I go to therapy or do meditation or something like that. And the answer that I have for that is only if it does. It doesn't have to. It depends on how you approach those things. So you can approach your meditation practice from a very open, clear place that doesn't strengthen separation or ego, ambition for enlightenment. Ego wants to get enlightened. Ego's gonna get enlightened, right? That's okay. It's okay to have that. You get to the mountain, get your gear, get in shape, start climbing. Then you're hanging on the mountain. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I actually have to be present now. I have to drop all my ego, arrogant bullshit, and actually surrender to the will of the mountain. And so we learn, we're forced onto our knees to surrender as human beings, aren't we? Isn't that what got you here? Your struggle, your suffering, your dissatisfaction certainly got me here originally. So, or maybe just it's a cool thing and you want to get it. You know, like the new Apple iPhone or something. Pricey. Yeah, the trip to realization is the most expensive because you have to give yourself completely everything to it. It's not a half-baked option. So, the other thing that came to me, a kind of question, I was on a little retreat, personal retreat recently, in a nice place where I could just look at water and breathe fresh air. That was nice. I usually live on a busy corner in San Francisco. Busy, noisy corner. It was nice to be in a place that was beautifully serene. And this interesting question arose out of a revelation, which was, well, if we're the divine, why can't the divine talk to itself? And the answer is, well, of course it can. So what I want to talk about a little bit is this unified realm, this interface of relative and absolute also includes direct communication. And I'm not talking about positive thinking. I don't know how to talk about it, really, because I'm exploring it and discovering and learning, just like you. But what I'm getting at here is that as you deepen and become more established in whatever you want to call it, awakened consciousness, let's say. Keep it simple, okay? As you become more embodied, you'll realize, if you don't already know it, that that awareness is the creative, intelligent force of all, of everything. And we are that. You are that already. Do we understand it? No. Can we comprehend it? Not really. But realization is literally the profound process of, you might say, not becoming it, but realizing it profoundly, that you are that. There's no ego in that realization. And if there is, that's not it. You can feel, even as I say it, there's a deeper resonance of it here in the space. So that's it communicating it to itself right there, see? And that when that happens, however it happens, whether it's in a talk like this or whether it's you communicating with yourself, your big self, really, you'll know, because there'll be that resonant expansion, radiant feedback, you might say. And then there'll also be things like feeling at peace, profoundly loved, profoundly taken care of, free of problems, even though you might still have a laundry list of problems on a relative level. You won't be suffering. You won't be fighting it. You'll take care of what you can right now, because that's when you're in your garden, all you can do. You know, one weed at a time, or however you garden, right? You can only take care of what's in front of you right now. And you can only take care of what's in front of you right now if you're actually here. I had a friend of mine who was saying, I'm always distracted and I'm never satisfied. And I thought, that equals suffering. And I said, you know, and he said, I am just not spiritual. I said, oh, on the contrary, that's the most important realization you can have. As long as you don't add to it judgment and comparison and blame and guilt and despair. No, it's actually a good thing to know. Because then, guess what? You can actually start to recognize it when it's happening. And as soon as you do, guess what? You are present. And when you become present, then you can actually smell the rose. How often do you eat your food and don't taste it? How often when you're listening to your friend, you can't wait to say your piece? Are you getting them? Are you feeling them? Because when you're open, you will feel them, of course, because we're not separate as beings in every way. So we begin to experience what we naturally have, which is empathy. I was parked my car the other day. I was doing some errands in town, and I realized there was a homeless person camped behind a car, and I just tuned into them, and I started crying. I immediately felt that pain and thought, oh, wow, how hard to live like that on the street, going through garbage to eat. Wow. And it wasn't a mental, it was just a profound connection right there. And when we're open, we feel each other. And it's hard, but that's why people shut down. You know. And it's okay to shut down at times. You can't feel everything. As long as you don't stay there. You know, your heart doesn't have to be open all the time. You want to have complete flexibility. I think that's the real key. Complete flexibility in your body, your mind, your heart, your opinions, your positions. Flexibility to question what you believe. So you're not caught in right and wrong, good and bad and all that stuff, but really more that you're always open to learning and becoming more sensitive, more tuned in. Okay? Is this helpful? Am I just rambling here? Okay. You know, even though I'm making sound out of this instrument, because that's what we have. We have this instrument, this divine, miraculous instrument that we get a life to have. as easy or difficult as it happens to be, and all of us have a range, actually, of however challenging it might be, underneath all of that, or within all of that, is this silent, profound conveyance of teaching that's here now. This divine presence, consciousness. And maybe your nose is cleared a little. And maybe you can smell a little bit of it. Or maybe you're really in it. And you're enjoying the mana of the divine that you are. And if you are, then definitely just enjoy that and open to that and rest in that and love it like a beautiful sunset or wonderful music, right? Open your heart to yourself, to all of yourself. I think so much of this journey is learning to love profoundly on all levels. And love in its sort of base level is very, very much attachment and a realm of a great deal of suffering. There wouldn't be opera without it. That's an expensive art form. All the novels, everything. Okay. Fortunately, that's not the whole picture. No, there's this divine love. There's this profound, unconditional love that we are. It's another way of describing the divine. I like that. Because I think as we become more integrated with consciousness and awareness, we naturally start to soften. We naturally let down our guard and our defensiveness and our aggression, and we become more loving. Things, a loss may actually profoundly move us more, right? Or you might hear a news story and you might go into action or be profoundly moved by what others are going through that you know about. Right? So the key is to let it move through you like the ocean, just the waves, all this intensity to move through you, that we are energy systems, we are weather systems. I was reading a little article about the Dalai Lama. I really liked reading this because it was felt, I thought, oh, I'm so glad he's talking about this, because I thought, thank you for being real so people don't project some phony spiritual trip onto you. Which is, he was talking about when he gets angry. Good. Thank you. Oh, what do you mean he gets angry? I thought he was enlightened. I didn't think enlightened people had feelings. That's like saying, gee, I didn't know food had flavor. Like, yeah, who would go out to dinner? What would happen to California cuisine? And he said, when I'm angry, you know, I just let that move through me. Yeah, sometimes my assistant does the wrong thing and I get angry. Yeah, right on. I understand that. And then he said, but it just moves through and that's it. Boom, gone. Not stuck in it. Doesn't strengthen the ego. Doesn't strengthen the position of the identity. It's just a natural flow. So your emotions are just natural flows. And they lead to, believe it or not, realization. Everything does. Everything. All roads lead to Rome. So whatever's going on in your condition, the way you give attention to it can either get you more stuck or it can lead you to freedom. And your job is to find out the difference on the approach. That's all. With everything. Everything. Because every moment literally is an opportunity to wake up. every moment. So if you want to blame someone else for where you're at, okay, but at some point you got to take responsibility. And I don't mean blame yourself, but I mean just realize that your reality is your creation. It just is. How are you going to work with it? How are you going to be available to it? These are things you can ask yourself in a way that actually could make it interesting and actually inspiring and even fun. Seriously. Instead of a, you know, drudgery and like overwhelming chore. Some people approach spirituality like digging a ditch, you know, it's in 120 degree weather with no hat. Okay, sometimes it's like that. I've been there plenty. I remember when I worked for my mother at one point as an administrative assistant when she was spearheading legalizing acupuncture, which she did in the United States. She was responsible and was considered in China to be the mother of Chinese medicine in America. And I'd come out of the monastery and I was training to become an Alexander teacher, and I could work part-time. So I worked for her and her foundation as an administrative assistant. And, you know, working for your mom, let's just say, in this case, was challenging. Naturally, we pushed each other's buttons all the time. And we were both fairly high-powered, energetic people. And at some point, I just said to myself, because I had so much, like, I was getting so activated, I thought, is this how I want to treat myself? I actually asked it that rather than her doing this to me, right? Her pushing my buttons. It was more like I took responsibility. I said, is this how I want to live in this body? And I said, no. And I made a conscious choice to tend my garden in a new way in relationship to being and working for her. And it shifted. It shifted the whole paradigm. That shift in attitude, that choice or that question transformed the possibility of what was happening there. So even changing your mind, changing your perspective, can change your world. Literally. So you get to play. This is where we, it can be hard, but this is where you, instead of being stuck, I'm stuck here, and ask yourself, are you? Is that true? And you might say yes, and these are all the reasons. Okay, but is that the only perspective right now? I have no idea where this is all coming from. Just channels through somehow. You know, I think the sort of basic approach of most people these days is, you know, awakening and realization. That's good. It's really a good place to, you know, that's good, important. It's really the foundation. It's really the essence of everything. So, of course, you have to realize it. You have to get intimate with it and familiar with it. And then you have to find out how to live from that and contribute and be a part of life from that. That's really what I'm talking about. Not just get to the mountaintop of samadhi. That's groovy. Let's face it. It's good. It's wonderful when you're in the bliss and the ecstasy and the, you know, one with everything. It's fantastic. I mean, it's the best. You're in love with everything. Everything's in love with you. You know that. You know what I'm talking about, right? The good stuff. It's great. But then, you know, when are you going to come down off your mountaintop and join the rest of us who are suffering? How are you going to be available now? What are you going to do now? How are you going to live your life now? You're just going to avoid everybody? Hopefully not, because we need your light. We need your love. We need your energy. We need your vitality. Ultimately, this path is the selfless path, where happiness, as the Dalai Lama also pointed out, is in direct proportion to what you give, not what you get. And so being of service is so profound, because it just naturally wants to give, doesn't it? And compassion, absolutely essential elements of happiness. And I want to add in gratitude as well for my dear friend and mentor most of my life, good part of my life, Brother David Steinl-Rast. Gratitude, so important. So anyway, thank you for listening. You all get A's on the quiz. You all pass. You're all already free, actually. You may not know that. You may not have realized it. But it's a done deal. So let it grow. Let it unfold. Let it guide you. Let it show you the way it's showing you the way, not the way it's showing someone else the way. And there you will trust that profound wisdom that you are, that is, that makes up every cell of your body and makes up every cell in the universe, every molecule in the universe. And when you're listening from that, we are one. You could feel that. You can sense that. It's very obvious. Okay. So if you have any questions, you'd like to come up and sit together, whatever, feel free, come on up. And keep in mind that we eventually podcast these talks, so if you prefer your interaction not on the recording, let us know and we'll edit it out.
Okay.
Can you hear?
Okay.
Yeah, maybe okay. It's me. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for coming to Santa Cruz.
Oh, my pleasure, really. It's good to be here. Thank you.
So I think you channeled the talk from me.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, literally, about being stuck, about waking up, and then getting into the depth of the heavy conditioning and getting stuck again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get very heavy here. I think that my early conditioning has been like a death sentence all along, because it has not allowed me to live my life. And even after waking up and after a honeymoon period.
I like that, the honeymoon period of awakening. It's going to be a whole new, maybe we should call that. That's a good idea. That's great. I love it. Sorry.
It's okay. Then that conditioning came back up in full force.
Yes, often it's
to
even
be
more
cleared
strong.
Out.
Yeah.
Worse than ever.
Yeah.
And even more so, because then, you know, you're really conscious of it and
mm-hmm.
and aware of how damaging it was in my case.
Mm-hmm.
And after clearing a whole lot of it, then I got stuck in the depth of some trauma that just refuses to go away. And now I'm not even awake anymore. I just came back down.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Let's just sit together right now for a minute. What's your name?
Edith. Edith.
Edith?
Mm-hmm.
Put your feet flat on the ground. I'm glad you're here. Good to meet you and be with you. And thank you for sharing that. I understand how painful it is right now, but I can feel you. You know, this is not uncommon, just to let you know. And the truth is, the awakening can't be undone. I just want to let you know that. I know you're not aware of it right now, consciously, it's okay. But I can tell. Okay? Yes, you are integrating some very deep stuff, right? Dark, difficult stuff right now. Dark night of the soul? Yeah, it's more than one night usually. I'm serious.
Yeah, I can't count anymore.
I know.
I don't count them anymore.
You don't what?
I don't count them anymore. They're countless nights.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So, let your mouth open. Take a deep breath into your lungs and release it. Like that. Just do a few of those. Yeah, don't blow it out. Just let it out. Right. Make a sound, a sigh. Human. Yeah. You need some help right now.
I know.
And I'm glad you're asking for it, and I hope you ask for it wherever you can get it to help you get through this. Because there's something in you that's holding it back. Not judging you or anything, but I can feel that conditioning is so programmed that it's like locked, but there's a key. It's not futile. Now, even as I said that, I don't know if you could tell, your awareness started opening more. Could you feel that at all?
Something okay. Shifted, but
I know. It's okay. Stay with me here. That's it. Good. Oh, yes. I had a beautiful awakening. I'm so glad you're talking about this because this is so common these days. I mean, I'm working with it all the time and my working with people privately all over the world really with this. This is what I jokingly and seriously often have referred to as the root awakening, post awakening. Yeah. Because you are more open, you are more available, so more can move and integrate. A lot of people stop that and they bypass it and they try to stay on the high of presence. Mm. And there's a lot of wreckage on that path, let me tell you. So stay here. This is very difficult, but you're going to make it. This will transmute. But what you need to do or how you need to approach it or the kind of help you need to get to help that, I can't tell you what that's going to be, but I guarantee you, you can find it and it will be there and it will help you. And your beautiful realization will be back just where it is, where it hasn't gone anywhere. It's just obscured right now. That's all. Okay? So I'm not convincing you, I'm just hopefully encouraging you to hang in there.
I don't see it right now.
I know. So let's just breathe and just be here. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel your hands on your legs. That's right, just let that come up. Whatever that is. What are you feeling right now? What are you sensing right now?
Just heaviness.
Okay. Just let there be, and is there any resistance to the heaviness or judgment or reactivity to it, mental reactivity to it?
No.
No story about it?
The only story I have is that I can't stop thinking about dying.
You what?
I can't stop thinking about dying.
Okay. All right. Don't think. Right now, yeah, I want you to put all your attention into your feet on the ground. Being here. Feeling, that's it. You're getting more present now. I don't know if you can feel that. You can?
Maybe.
A little bit? Okay. Good. A little bit of consciousness is, a little bit of light is all you need. Just to be aware of that little bit of, there you go. Now you're giving attention to it. You feel it? Now you're moving back into the light. Just, there's nothing you need to do here. That's it. There it is. It's opening more. You can feel that? See? So you learn how to come back to the light, even in the midst of hell. Very important. That's good. Your heart's starting to... Also, there's more that wants to move through the heart, but that will probably happen. That's good. So just keep allowing yourself to move towards this light here. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
I just don't understand how people could be so... Well...
So what?
Cruel.
Yeah, I know. So whatever words or whatever expression needs to be expressed like that, it needs to just be expressed, that's all. So that all of the conditional expressions of this contraction can be heard and allowed. When once they can be allowed without any attempt to change them, judge them, interpret them, anything like that, they will transmute and you will be back in connection.
But it just, there's something really thick that I can't break through.
No, you can't break through, and I'm telling you, you can't. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Don't try. If you try, you will lose.
But I don't know what else to do.
Give up. Right now. Right here. Just be here. Don't think. You started moving into the light, but you got back into the mental. You got back into the conditional thinking. See?
But what do I do after I get out of this chair?
You'll find out. Just be here now, and that will—you will find out. That's it. Just keep learning how to return back to the source. You have to be very—you have to be like a person on a high wire with no safety net. You can't afford to get caught in distracted thinking right now. There you go. Now you're. Can you feel, see, you started coming back. See, that's my job, is to point that out so you can recognize it, and you do. You're opening is happening again. Mm-hmm. That's what you do when you get out of the chair. You keep letting it come back to you because it's trying. Our nature is to be awakened. Our true nature is enlightenment. It just is. We've lost it for whatever reason as human beings. But
like you said, I'm moving through something very...
Yeah, well, that will work itself out, and we're not focusing on how that's going to happen. You don't know. It's going to probably be a process, maybe many processes.
Well, it's being a process for a while.
I get that.
And it even brought me back down.
Just keep coming back here. So you keep pulling yourself out with that. See what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay. Because the thing also is my mind is very strong.
I'm well aware of that. So get out of there. You ever hear that line, you know, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood, don't go there by yourself? Well, get help.
Yeah.
Other help. I mean, this is help too, and I'm happy to help you, but let's just leave it here for now. And just let what happened happen and just let it be. And even though you're still going through a lot, something also got revealed right now that will help you. So go back and just let that keep coming back to you while you're here today, because we're going to be here for a while. So if you can, stay out of your head, tune into the presence. There's a lot of presence in this room. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to tune into it. The resonant field is that tuning fork is vibrating very clearly right now. So let yourself tune into it, and that's your job when you go back to your seat, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck. Yeah, you're welcome. Did you have your hand up? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had your hand up. There. Come on up. I thought someone had their hand up over here. I probably hallucinated it or something.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to talk, and I like the way you say to me that you're there and you're not there, you're there, you're not there, like you were just doing. It's very sure. helpful.
Yeah, it is helpful, yeah.
And I've noticed that it's real easy, or it's much easier when I'm just meditating and being in this calm, cool place than when I am more animated and more in the world.
So let me ask you something.
Yes.
Because we've talked before.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with not being aware?
I suffer.
Really? How much?
Sometimes.
I mean,
not as much, not nearly as much as it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you trust
that's not
where you're going to get stuck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So
it's still painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see something's opening. Something's opening right now. Yeah, this is important, right? Because this is what I was trying to talk about in the talk a little bit, that when we can actually recognize the condition, just like you did, you actually start to become free. I just want you to catch that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll begin to see when you're in the middle of the disconnection, you can actually find it instantly if you get how to be aware of it. That's what I'm trying to say.
So it feels like a disconnection when I'm even asking the question?
Whatever, but I'm just saying, wherever that shows up, for you to, there's a way that you can listen and be available in the suffering that literally is liberating.
Yeah.
Is the raw material for liberation.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
It's the fertile ground of liberation.
I wouldn't be so honest.
That's why Buddha's first noble truth. Life is suffering. That's why he said it, not because he was trying to bum everybody out. Everybody knew it was suffering.
Yeah.
You know, no electricity, no central plumbing. Come on, give me a break. No internet. I mean, I really feel sorry for the psychics back then that could see now. How come we're living here now in this era? Go ahead.
I think I'm speaking more now in public, and people don't necessarily like a monotone voice like this. So I'm more animated, and I'm telling stories. I'm getting into it. And
you're entertaining.
I'm entertaining. I'm an entertainer on the Enneagram, 7 with a 6 wing, yeah.
Which number?
7 with a 6 wing.
Oh, 7. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can't really feel it right now. I'm just, relaxed.
Yeah, but that's just a fixation. That's not who you really are.
Right. So it's how the personality shows up, and it's sometimes it's when I go out, I get giddy and I'm selling or something.
But what I'm trying to tell you is it doesn't matter as long as you can recognize it. As soon as you recognize it, like you just did, you're back in openness, period. It's not about trying to stay in presence. That's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. That's another trip. That's another ego trip.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
See, there you go. You can relax.
And I love talking about love, too, because I forget about the love. Hello, my God. It's so much about clarity.
I know. And we live these lives where many of us are, just trying to keep it together.
Right.
And that's not easy. And there's all the other concerns that are going on today.
Mm-hmm.
But there you are. Ooh, heart's opening now deeply. See? So you begin to have gratitude for the deep resource that you have cultivated and realized. Even when we're in the dark night of the soul, no matter how long it lasts, we still can access when we do the light. And even in those brief moments, it's like, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. It is the saving grace. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for coming up. Please. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well.
I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I raised my hand because I wanted to know how you do that, this thing you do.
Yeah. I don't know. Something opened in me when I was 16, and it's been there ever since. And I've learned, so I've spent my whole life following it. Mm-hmm. And I think, and what I realize is that we are all that. And it's really our opportunity to find out what this life is really about, not just some survival game.
I mean, how you read it, how you see it, how you can perceive it, how you can perceive openings and closings.
Oh, it's like you know, a semi driving by. Mm-hmm. For me, it's very present. It's very perceived. There's no head trip going on at all.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're not separate. That's how. Yeah, that's it. Oh, you have such a beautiful heart. So much compassion. See, and those people who are tuned in that way can feel it. We're really not separate. And one of the cool things and things I love about this kind of environment, working environment, when we're working as a group, is that when someone's up here and they're working, if other people are tuned in, they'll feel the change. And as someone even becomes aware of their condition, the whole room will literally become more illuminated. Mm-hmm. So we begin to understand, wow, this is pretty far out stuff that's happening here, right? Mm-hmm. Do we understand it? No, but we can learn how to be with it, ride it, learn from it, be guided by it, all of it, healed by it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about the difference between just being able to sense that. Mm-hmm. And the way you're able to speak it, the way you're able to articulate it.
I've been on this journey a long time. I've been working with people for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I think I've just been guided. I'm learning all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it's been a long journey.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Yeah, come on. Somebody else have their hand up?
Hey.
Hey.
Nice to see you again.
You too. Thank you.
I came today with two wishes. One was just to have a reflection.
Sure.
And that's beautiful.
Hmm.
And the other one was indeed exactly what you were talking about today. Every time I've got up here, you've mentioned that I have a tendency to push a little extra.
Are you noticing that more for
yourself? Oh, definitely. Yeah,
is that helpful to notice it?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
And it plays very much into what you're talking about, because there's an unconsciousness that arises. There's a constriction of energy that arises. There's a judgment. There is a...
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciousness. The suffering, need to control, all right, and rejection of the present moment. So as you're talking, I was trying to take in a lot of, like, not only what you were saying, but what was coming in for me, in this process of when things are balanced, things are free-flowing, things are open, and then they start to constrict, and noticing that genesis.
Good.
And it feels like, because I'm just trying to say what's coming up for me and talk back and forth about.
Sure,
this is coming back into the body, which you talk about quite a lot. I mean, it's like, it almost seems like a lot of the tendency is to go into the mind and try to figure it out.
Exactly. That's a great sort of redirection.
Right.
Great, internal guidance.
And the other
breath. Breath, too.
Breath.
You can drop into the breath and the belly. That can just really help you get out of the head.
Right. And then as it, the question that I was holding on to before was like, once the pain body, as Eckhart says, you know, it totally takes you over and there's a full unconsciousness, mm-hmm. you know, how do you let go of a hot, you know, how do you let go when you're holding something that's so hot? And what came up for me was...
You might have to get burned first.
Exactly. But to breathe, mm-hmm. There's something that realizes that you need to let go. And that even that something is the awakening. It's a little,
yeah,
a little spark to get in touch with that.
It's very common that breakdown is required for breakthrough,
right?
Because we're so defended.
Yeah. And then to come back, and for me, a lot of times it is just like one big breath, get in the body, just let go, and go, okay.
Breath is amazingly powerful.
Yeah.
A great, great help. Awareness of the breath. It's an endless discovery.
Because it happens to be connected to the body too, you know.
Yeah, totally. Now you can begin to breathe awareness into every part of your body.
So in this whole field that I see of kind of like, I don't know how else to say it myself, there are these stuckness, like, you know, you're talking about the Dalai Lama says, you know, I get angry. Yes, I get angry.
I'm it's happy like, to read that. I cannot tell you.
Yeah, I did it. It's the video.
We need more examples of people who are honest about what's really going on here instead of just having it be a one-sided trip.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So I'm just trying to bring more awareness to the actual process of when this arises of unconsciousness,
mm-hmm.
the attitude, the awakening that is actually present. And another thing that was arising for me was like almost like could be a sense of gratitude that, you know.
That'd be good for you.
Embracing it as something, something I want to stop or kill or get over or figure out. It's like, oh, thank you.
No, I think you just, let's rewind the tape a little bit back to the compassion part.
Yeah.
Or the gratitude part. There you go. That's the next one to add to the ingredients of your wonderful dish that you're cooking.
Well, I really saw that just a minute ago, that if you can step into gratitude, then
play with it. You know, I mean, the thing that's great about all of this is that forget rigid rules, play with it, experiment with it, do improv, mm-hmm. screw up, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Fall down, you'll get back up. You're not going to fall down and never be able to figure out how to get up again.
Right.
Unlikely. You know, falling down helps you get better balance.
One of the tightnesses is in relationship to when I go unconscious, how that affects other people. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that, and I feel really, you know, it's just like, and then there's even more contraction because I've known that
other people are the greatest mirror for the path. If you can really begin to have a clear understanding and not be caught in the reactivity and the projection.
Mm-hmm.
People are caught in the projection, that keeps the thing going.
What do you mean by get caught in the projection?
They think it's them.
So I still, the words don't fit together for some reason, the projection.
I'm not saying it's not, if somebody pushes your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what if you didn't have the buttons?
Well, no, I'm actually saying the opposite. When I get triggered,
okay,
I get a reaction from other people, and I can feel that. I can feel the karmic damage that we do as we're going through life, spreading
our
pain and suffering around the world.
You're right, and I'm glad that you clarified that for me. Yes, and in that case, then you take responsibility, and you know I do that, and I say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, I didn't mean it that way, or whatever. There's so much misunderstanding that comes down in human communication, let's face it.
Yeah.
How much of it gets cleared up? That is questionable.
For me, the most important thing that came up in this whole talk was that it's like I came with a question, and for me, the answer was, even in the suffering, there is a acknowledgement, there is a realization that something is askew, and just that sort of, wait a second, something's not quite right, is to me right now just feels like it's a doorway, that is the gateway, just to acknowledge it at some level, that's right, and then take responsibility at that moment,
yeah, without blame
but like breathe
whatever is required,
right?
You know, whatever is required will be obvious, yeah, to allow it to heal, to integrate, to transform and transmute. Right.
And for me, what's coming up is that in that sense of something's askew, there is that quality of gratitude for it. There is
great.
That
then you're lucky.
Gratitude that, I mean, it's not always experienced, but I can just see that it's part of it, that if you're really, really present, it's like, I can be here.
I understand. Fully, yeah. I understand. We're often gifted by our limitations.
Yeah.
That's why in the Zen they have a saying, you put a snake in a bamboo tube.
I don't get a lot
don't
of
you love
things.
That? Isn't that a great image? Well, just imagine being a snake. Your nature is, and imagine being put in something and you can't move. That's going to be pretty challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to discover something to be there.
Right.
I remember when I had a bike injury when I was 1998. I had a very serious bike injury with multiple fractures and all kinds of stuff. And I they had to do an MRI to find out what's going on. They want to see what, you know, all the different fractures and things. And the MRI machine wasn't working. Something was wrong with it. I was in there. I was in extreme pain. I was not on any medication for pain. And what should have taken, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes took a couple of hours. So I was in the tube. Have you ever been in one of those things?
No, but my daughter has been.
And people say that, I know some people, they have to take beta blockers to go in there, mm-hmm, because they're so claustrophobic. And I was so grateful that I had spent so many years on, you know, doing Zazen, where I didn't move, meditation, where I could be profoundly still and at peace.
Right.
It was just like, oh, thank goodness.
So in the midst of the contraction, there's a point of capacity to be completely still.
And what is required with that is the point of stillness, where you're not pushing. You're not trying to get something. You're not trying to get away from something. You're not moving. But right. You're not holding still either.
You're being real.
True stillness is not held. It is peace. It's effortless, right. And it's actually quite pleasurable. Right here. Feel that?
So if there's a doing, it's just a letting go.
There's no doing in it. There's no one doing it.
Yeah.
All of transformation is getting out of the way.
And that's what I meant by letting go, just getting out of the way, just to seeing where.
Yeah, we call it letting go, but it sounds like someone's doing something. Letting go happens by itself.
Right.
We don't let go. Egos don't let go. Are you kidding? The very nature of ego is holding on. Its nature is an identity. Identity is all about holding on, being separate. That's literally its definition. When you identify with something, you attach to it. Right? That's why I say, let go of your beliefs, let go of all your attachments. That's what that really means. It doesn't mean, you know, sink all your possessions in the bottom of the lake. Even though some people do that, that might not help.
In the context of what you were saying earlier of non-dualism, what's coming up for me is the mind really separate from the awakened?
Then? No, so, not really, but there is a mind that suffers, and that is completely conditioned. Absolutely, just like the... In every level, there's the lower and higher level of it.
Okay, with you.
So you can work with thought in a way that actually is liberating, or you can work with thought in a way that completely exacerbates suffering.
Right. What I've been kind of noticing is how to think in the presence of presence.
In well, then, way. And you'll know when you open and letting go happens. Then you'll know it's working. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the guidance system. That's the compass.
The last thing I was saying was that to experience the ego, to experience thoughts simultaneously while being in presence, like being able to experience both of these simultaneously seems to be...
They're not separate.
What's that?
They're not separate.
They're not
But generally, I would say that if you're deeply in presence, there's no thought happening. Thought doesn't even happen.
Right.
There's just, it, but there may be communication that comes through, but it's different. It's something else. I don't know what it is. Channeling.
Right.
I don't know what to call it. Inspired.
But to have a thought, to have ego, and simultaneously be aware of authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be something that's coming up a lot for me lately. Is mm-hmm. It's okay to let the ego be and
but of to, course. To, I mean, what are you going to do?
To choose, well, you can
not be okay.
It.
I mean,
you judge it and criticize it and contract and
yeah. Well, that's asleep. Where you were. I mean, that's where right. most people are. Of course, you got to start where you are.
Right.
Ego is not really a problem ultimately.
Yeah.
It's not some villain. It's what got you here. It's how you coped. It's how you were programmed. It's how you were, you know, conditioned. It's just. It is what it is, that's all. Mm-hmm. And as long as it, you know, and it's the truth is the conditioning is not, ultimately not a hindrance. As we become awake, it just is not, it's just not in the way. Not in the same way anymore, anyway. Mm-hmm. Good to see you. Thanks for the conversation, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so
time.
Welcome, yeah.
Appreciate you're
welcome. So we don't have any more time for questions. I'm going to turn these things off. Hang on. Oh, boy, that is different. Wow. Maybe I better put them back on. Jeez. I've got hearing aids because I've got hearing loss, which I've had since I was 2, actually, but I'll leave them on. Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have any more time for questions, but we do have a little more time just to sit silently together. So find a comfortable position that you can relax in for a little bit, and then I'll finish up with some more things to share at the end, okay? So if you need any help right now, just let go of whatever you've been thinking about or the future. If your mind is already in the future of what you're going to be doing later, so to speak, notice that you're not here and bring yourself back. Just invite yourself to breathe, even if you're uncomfortable or you're tired or achy or whatever. See if you can give yourself some ease with your breath and with tuning into your body, letting it let go naturally. Just resting and opening, allowing. I just have a few announcements and just some last things to share. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd really like to express my profound appreciation and gratitude to Sajan, who has been here for years helping us when I come down, usually once a month or so, in setting up and greeting everyone. And his life is taking him to new vistas. And so I just want to tell you how much I am grateful to you and thank you so much for amazing service. It's been really wonderful to have you be a part of our little community here and of all the wonderful, loving help that you've given. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sajan. The other thing I'd like to point out, particularly from the last conversation I was just having, is how important it is to appreciate yourself and all the hard work that you're doing and have done to be who you are and where you are. You know, that even though it may not be where you want to be, still, it's very helpful for the heart and the being to give ourselves appreciation. So I want to thank you for showing up today and taking the time and making the effort to be here, and for your attention, because attention leads us to the truth. It leads us to the discovery of the truth and to the process of realization. So that's what's really important. Number one is to show up. And as we know, we can show up here for an event like this, or we can begin to learn how to show up more and more and more, as we've been talking about in these conversations today, that you can show up even in the minute moment of the present moment, no matter what's happening, that you could begin to find that spark of light and presence really anywhere, anytime, you know, in traffic, at the bank, the grocery store, you know, interacting with someone, anyone. It could happen anytime. And how beautiful when you discover those moments and you give yourself to that and you begin to allow this natural movement to freedom, to enlightenment, to actually occur. So I wish you the best in your journey, and I hope to see you soon. In the meantime, lots of love and happy trails. Thank you so much.